SBS Radio.
Welcome to NITV Radio, Kelly Kumalatos.
That's very exciting. Thank you.
We're very excited to have you on. And first of all, congratulations for winning an award over the weekend, a prestigious award, the 7th Koori Arts Award.
It's very exciting and, great surprise and very welcomed. And I'm very moved and humbled by it, actually.
Yeah, I know it's exciting to see to get an award always, but your pieces have been on display at Melbourne Museum, right across even at the Koori Heritage Trust, and I saw.
So when I first started practicing, I was drawn to reclaiming and recreating cultural items. Making possum skin cloaks was my number one agenda because everybody wore them in Southeast Australia due to the cold, and every baby, every man, woman, and every person had possum skin cloaks, but there's hardly any traditional ones. This is going back 30-odd years now. That was my passion, was about possum skin cloaks, and I've since moved on to keep using the skins, in a totally different way. So, printmaking with the possum fur is what I'm working on. My themes are all around working with the actual pelt, of the possum fur. So it's very unorthodox to Aboriginal people, as well as being unorthodox in a traditional Western sense for printmakers, because I put them through a printing press.
Oh, how do you put a possum skin in the printing press? How does it work?
Yeah. So it's with the it's basically, you know, when you do a lino cut and you get the lino. Once you've carved into the lino, you've got your image, and then you roll it up with ink.
Yeah.
So I get the possum fur and I roll that up with ink, and then I put it on the printing press, and I put the paper on it, and then I roll it through the printing press, and then I get the relief image, the print of the fur, the effect of the fur, which is on the piece that won the award. So it's a blouse from the late 1800s, but the body of the blouse has possum fur print on it.
Yeah. It's a blouse with a history. Tell us about the history behind this blouse, because it's a connection to not only the native materials that you use, but also to your family.
The particular blouse, it's part of a dress, and it's a portrait of my great-grandmother and my great-auntie. So my great-grandmother, Eleanor Jackson, whose father was a tribal boy when the white people came through. And so she was born in 1887. And she died when I was 16. And there's her sister-in-law, who's a Wamba Wamba woman, Auntie Frieda Stewart. There's this beautiful portrait of them, this beautiful photograph. It's taken early 1900s.
Yeah.
And they're both wearing these Victorian-style clothing with big sleeves. And anyway, they look absolutely magnificent, I have to say. They're young and beautiful and black and strong and so dignified. They really own the space they're in, and they're so powerful in themselves. And so I really wanted to do something that was about them, and I thought that because they owned the clothing they were in, and they were such strong black women, that's what it's really about. The blouse is a portrait of them.
Yeah. So it symbolizes, it represents the strength of the women in your family, because it was not a hard, an easy time to be a First Nations person.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's why I'm so taken with this image of them, because you see so many photographs of our older people who you can tell they hate being where they are and having their photo taken. Yeah. And they hate, you can tell, they don't want to be wearing those white people's clothes.
Yeah.
But this, I don't know how to describe it. There's such a, it's in the image itself. So they're strong in their own identity, and it, absolutely the changes, you know, they live with people who, they lived with people who experienced life before white people.
Yeah.
So they live with them. And they also lived at a time of colonisation, and they lived. So they lived with so many different experiences of what it was like to be in the southeast of Victoria.
Yeah,
absolutely, it would not have been easy. But I still find that they are so strong in themselves as young women. And Granny was always an amazing woman. You know, as children, you were just naturally quiet in her presence.
Yeah.
She commanded authority without having to demand it. She just had this. And I guess that comes through in the image a bit. And, yeah, but you're right. It's such tough times to be born into. And I guess that's perhaps why I'm also so moved by them, and I want to celebrate them. I want to celebrate their lives, and I want to celebrate the people that they were, and also the fact that they had their own identity, their own Wamba Wamba and Wedagaya identities, and their own Wamba Wamba and Wedagaya families.
Yeah. So the photograph you used to actually create this artwork is a photograph that dates to the 1900s. Was it kept in the family? Tell us the story about this photograph.
Yeah,
because keeping a photograph
it's in our family with people. I don't know what happened to the original, but Mum thinks that the photo was actually commissioned by our own family. So it was, you know, on special occasions like birthdays or Christmas or something, they used to have photographs taken because you'd have to obviously pay for a photographer and you would get dressed up. So Mum thinks that it was probably a special time for the family and they decided they'd have a special photo taken. So that's what my mother thinks. I haven't actually found any, because I found it in through my family, that's how, and I made an artwork going back over 20 years ago, the first time I made an artwork derived from this particular image.
Yeah, they must have been influential at the time because photography was very, very, very rare at the time.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah. And now we are in the International Year of Indigenous Languages, and one thing that you mention in that's mentioned in actually the story behind your artwork is that one of your relatives actually kept a dictionary of her language.
That was Granny.
Yeah,
Granny's the one that's sitting down in the image. So yes, Granny had her own dictionary of Wedagaya language.
Yeah.
And
do you have a copy of it?
Well, Louise Hercus went on and did. Louise Hercus was a linguist who did a lot of work with Granny in the 1960s.
Yeah.
And so Granny's words were put into this linguist book on some Victorian languages.
Yeah.
So so it's acknowledged that Granny's stuff's in there. So I never actually, I think someone in the family might have a copy. I don't know for sure, but that was always the story, that Granny had her own.
Yeah.
Kept her own dictionary of her father's language, and then later on it's become included in that book. And also there's the Burindji Gadjin Land Council, which sponsored Wedagaya language reclamation, and there's a more modern dictionary that's come out as well that I also use.
It would be worth a lot of money, not just money, but also culturally very, very, very significant, because keeping language and culture is something that's just at the forefront of everyone's wishes.
And there's a lot of reclaiming of language happening down in Victoria. Jenny Beer, who calls herself Wajabalik, she's done a lot of work in around Horsham of the languages of the area, including Wedagaya. And but there's other languages that are being actively learnt and reclaimed by different people in Victoria. So there is a big movement. And in my works, I try and use some language. For instance, I'm thinking the main body of work that this piece was going to go into was for an exhibition for next year for Melbourne Museum. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be called Gung, G-U-N-G, Gung.
Yeah. And what does that mean?
It means create, make, do, love.
Wow. It's a powerful word.
It's a powerful word.
It's one short but very strong and powerful word. One short word, but with so many, such a powerful message that it conveys.
It is, isn't it?
Very rich.
Yeah, I guess that you use it in the context that you want at that point in time, yes. And I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. Even for my work and starting to use language in my work, I'm thinking that as part of my own development is to find out from somebody like Jenny Beer, am I actually saying the words correctly?
But you're using them, at least you're writing them, and even if you don't say it correctly, I think there's a beginning to everything, and just using them and probably with a little bit more exposure to it, we'll learn how to also say it properly. Yeah. Now, before I let you go, anything we haven't covered that you would like to add to the conversation and convey to our listeners?
There's just a couple of things. For example, I love working with the old photographs of not only my family and my ancestors, but of other Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders. If I can get permission, I sometimes use them. And so this has been an ongoing thing of mine. I think because I used to work in the Melbourne Museum when I was when I was a very young woman. And I know there's so many amazing photographs of our people, and often families don't even know about them. The people in them are amazing. And so this work is a part of the celebration of those people's lives. And the other thing I just like to say is that using the possum fur as a printing plate and printing onto paper is a reflection of identity, of an Indigenous identity. So even though Auntie Frieda and Granny are wearing Western clothing, the possum fur print is a reflection of their Wedagai and Wamba Wamba heritage and identity as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a powerful message out there. Kelly Kumalatsos, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your art, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Bertrand. SBS.com.au